Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And this week, our question is, what the fuck is space deconstruction? If you've heard that word, maybe you haven't heard those terms before, Sage and I are going to break it down. But before we do that, Sage is going to read our review of the week. As you know, it means a lot to us. When you go and review our podcast, it actually helps us a lot. It gets our podcast in front of people who otherwise may not have seen it. So if you haven't already done so, we would really appreciate it if you left us a review on wherever you listen to your podcast, where you listen to us. But jumping right in, Sage, do you mind reading our review of the week?
I've got it. This comes from Ashleya 21, and the title she wrote was A Breath of Fresh Air. And she says, I just listened to all of the episodes today and just wow. These two ladies are not afraid to bring the topics to the table that most religious people are afraid to tackle. They relay their opinions and give their advice in a way that is open and so accepting. As someone who is continuing a healing journey that was in a way jaded from religious background, this podcast has given me hope that I can find some peace with my past and there are legitimate caring people in this world. Keep up the excellent work, ladies. Hearts, hearts, hearts.
Aw, thank you, Ashleya 21. Thank you. We really, really appreciate it. So please, if you haven't gone ahead, please go ahead and leave us a review. And then maybe next week we'll be reading one of yours. But jumping into this week's question, Sage, I think it's probably best for our audience to break down what the fuck we're saying, which is faith deconstruction, not destruction. Ooh, faith deconstruction. Maybe it's something you've heard of. Maybe it's not. Maybe you have no idea what we're saying. For me and Sage, it is definitely I've gone through it. I would say I've had my faith deconstruction. I've come out of the other side. I'll just say that. It's a personal journey. Sage and I are going to talk about what it means in our own terms, like definitions and stuff. But we just kind of wanted to open up and say that, like, it's new. It's a newer term. It's a whole new kind of way of looking at Christianity and stuff. But before that scares you, in case you're afraid of it, just listen to what we have to say. Sage, why don't you want to talk about like what it means, like what the term is, like what we're talking about?
So the actual term, like what is deconstruction or what is faith deconstruction, is really a way to describe a moment or a season of faith reckoning where someone takes what they've been taught or what they've believed and they put those ideologies back under the microscope. And this sometimes happens when you don't even, it starts when you don't even realize it. Yeah. You start asking those tough questions and the process is different for everybody. And the outcome I think is unique for everybody.
Right. So it's like, I think just to kind of go off it again. So you, like you said, you put your faith under a microscope.
Right.
You are I think one way that I've been looking at it is like a re-examination of our faith. Mm-hmm. My definition of one, something that I found online that I love, it's the taking apart of an idea, practice, tradition, belief, or system into smaller components in order to examine their foundation, truthfulness, usefulness, and impact. So very like similar definitions, but basically you're re-examining your faith. And maybe that's a little scary and stuff, but something that we've said on the podcast and that I say a lot is like, the Bible isn't something that's supposed to be read to you. You're supposed to read it for yourself. So it's really, if you haven't examined your faith for yourself, this is the beginning of it. This is how you do it.
Yeah, definitely. I also feel for some people who have maybe always grown up in a faith tradition, whatever that is, this can also be a process that really hits to the bone of your identity, because for some of us, there wasn't a difference between being a Christian and just being yourself. And they're so interlinked that it can actually cause an identity crisis. Yeah. So like I said, for some people, this is just a casual, let me rethink. Do I believe in atonement theory? Do I believe in this? And for some people, this is like a life shaking.
Yeah. It's a reckoning for some people.
Yes.
Yeah, and yes. I also don't think it's something everybody goes through. You know, it's not something that maybe I think it happened out of trauma for me when I stepped away from the church and I was forced to reexamine if I wanted to go back and stuff. But I think we're talking about this as something as Christians, but not every Christian goes through a faith deconstruction. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Somehow I feel like how can you not? but yeah. Sure, you're right. And I thought of this metaphor, and it's an imperfect metaphor, that for me it was kind of like Jenga, where you have like this tower of beliefs, and you see like some wobbly brick, some ideology, and so you take it out. And I think for some people that happens, but the whole thing doesn't collapse. And so, you know, it's like faith deconstruction is not just having a question about faith, you know, it's really about taking out lots and lots of bricks out of that Jenga. And for some people that Jenga just collapses, and for some not.
Well, I think what's interesting is, like, you know, I said this earlier, it's deconstruction, not like destruction. So I would mm-hmm. challenge that metaphor and say, like, you're supposed to put the blocks back, you know, that's Jenga.
Well,
like,
supposed to is a really tough word.
Well, I guess that's my thing. I think faith deconstruction, the goal of it is you're supposed to come out stronger in your faith. That doesn't always happen. I think that's true, but I do think, you know, it sounds scary, but for me, I'm like, no, it's just part of the journey. So I think that's something to say, is that mm-hmm. you're not supposed to, this isn't something that's supposed to be negative. You're not supposed to go into a spiral and stuff. There's sometimes you go through a grief cycle, but this doesn't also have to be a reckoning. Like, it can be one or the other. There's a lot of gray area with it.
That's what I mean by everybody experiences this differently. Some people grow stronger in their faith, like you did, Janet. Some people become atheist or agnostic because of it. So the outcome really varies depending on the person and how, I don't know where they started from also in their deconstruction process. You know, I think everybody has different backgrounds. I do want to say if I had grown up in a more progressive church, my deconstruction wouldn't have been as devastating for me, you know?
We keep kind of brushing over and stuff is it, like, how can this be devastating? You know, because I'm coming at, like, we're in two different point of views on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I guess I think it's important for people to understand, like, why is this devastating for people? Why is this something that breaks down people and makes them atheists while it strengthens others?
I mean, for one, I think a lot of faith is tied to identity. And so it's not just like I had this belief. It's like a identity collapse for some, not for all. And I think also if you're going through this process, and you're like, wait a second, this ideology doesn't make sense to me anymore. But then you see some people vehemently, you know, supporting that or pushing for that, or just like won't back down and there's no room for questions. Yeah, it can lead people in a really bad and dark direction.
It can. Yeah. But I mean, that's the whole thing is like, I don't think it should. Like, that's my whole thing is like, I don't think it should. But I think let's talk about maybe our own personal journeys of what deconstruction looks like in our mm-hmm. lives and how we come out to the other side of it.
Let's do that. Janet, why don't you start?
Sure. So like you know, I think one thing that happened for me is we've talked a little bit was like, I was assaulted. And so mm-hmm. I identified with my faith. We went to a Christian college together. So it was really like when I got attacked by him, I thought of him as this good Christian guy. And so I was like, mm-hmm. if this good Christian guy, you know, fuck good Christians, fuck Christianity then. Like, and mm-hmm. When we talked about this a little while ago, I would say like before I was diagnosed with PTSD 2 years ago, like the year and a half before that, maybe even 2 years before that, you know, I stepped away from the church because of what happened. It wasn't like a decision. It just slowly started to happen. You know, church started to cause anxiety for me. It wasn't mm-hmm. a fun experience anymore. I didn't feel closer to God. I felt like God had abandoned me mm-hmm. and I was pissed. And I felt like, you know, I was in this fire for no fucking reason. And here's everybody talking about how God is good. And I was like, fuck you. God is not good. I'm not good. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I've been going to Southeastern, you know, I came out, I was graduated, you know, I took all of these theology classes and it wasn't that I didn't believe in God. I just believed that God wasn't looking out for me. Mm-hmm. And so what happened through that is through my own, you know, I went to therapy for my PTSD and my therapist who was not, I'm very big into, you know, I'm big in therapy, love therapy, get counseling and stuff. But something mm-hmm. that was important to me was that I didn't go to a Christian counselor. I right. wanted someone that wasn't going to slam faith down my throat, or I felt like that was going to happen because I wasn't going to church. I was feeling that guilt already that I wasn't with God, at quote unquote. And so, you know, I started rereading. Thankfully, I had gone, like you said, I had gone to a progressive church growing up and stuff. So I didn't really have this view that God would hated me or that there was like this hell and brimstone kind of thing. I just didn't understand how my Southeastern experience, that theology I learned, lined up with the progressive theology that I learned early on. And I was like, why? And they conflicted in some ways. And some ways they didn't. That was the other thing too, is I made myself think that the word of God and Christians were the same thing, and they're not. And so I, through therapy and stuff, something I talked about with my therapist, that like, I miss God, you know, I miss them. And she encouraged me to go back to church as a way for me, as like, it was something I needed in my soul. So she recommended it for me. And I ended up going to back to a church that I started to go to in college locally and stuff. It was, it's non-denominational, and it's a very contemporary style of worship and stuff. And I felt God come back to me and worship that. Like, I felt him. And so I started reading my Bible again and going back to basics. I went back to the basics of reading. So I do like the SOAP method of like, you read something like two chapters or two books out of the Old Testament, and then two books out of the two chapters from both, from in the New Testament and Old Testament. And then you observe, apply, and pray over it. And so when you read those verses for you yourself, you can interpret for yourself what it means. You don't have a pastor interpreting it for you. And when you read things in the bigger context and stuff, you, for me, it was a restorative process. It was like, okay, God is for me. Or I've looked at verses again. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. These verses were out of context, how they were used with me, how I heard them. I realized that the word of God was being manipulated. And so I needed to learn for myself what the word of God was. And through that, you know, I think this happens because God is good. You know, I had a transformative experience. I got refined. And refinement is hard because it is going through the fire. And it's not easy. So I think what it's hard, if you grew up believing that your entire life, that women couldn't cut their hair and had to wear long dresses and weren't allowed to wear makeup, and you read the Bible for yourself and you realize all of that shit is just in the Old Testament and has no application to the world today and what God has restored with Jesus Christ, then you're like, oh my God, why have I been doing this my whole life? There's some reconciliation that happens there. That's a big deal. But for me, it was a reconfirmation of what I always knew. God is love. Like that is what was drilled into me in my progressive theology, is God is love. He loves others, and you need to treat others with love, like bigly. And so that happened, you know, that church I ended up at that time was, you know, I'm thankful for what it gave me in that moment. But something that also happened, I think, with people is I had to step away from that church because this church is no longer good. You know, so it's not something that I want to be associated with. And I won't point fingers and stuff because I don't want to get sued and stuff. But like, there's a church, a mega church here in town that I was going to, that they've been linked to the January 6th riots that happened. Like their pastor's wives and mother were there and all this stuff. And I'm like, and they were supporting it. And it was just things I could not support anymore as a Christian, you know? And so I had to leave, and people that I left way earlier than other people, like the signs were there early on. I was like, bye. But my friends that stayed were like, after January 6th, a week later, they're like, oh my God, how can I go? I can't go to this church anymore. That was a mind blowing experience to find out that their pastor wasn't who they said they were, was, you know, that's something that can break down someone's faith. But deconstruction is when you find faith for yourself. I feel like you break down everything that you've been told, you re-examine, and you build up from the ground up. It's hard and painful sometimes. Some lessons, no matter what, when you learn from God, you don't want to. There's never like, it's not perfection. If you line up with everything with God, then you're probably a little off. There are things that I still reconcile with where I'm like, I don't understand this, God, but it's not a scary thing. You know, God's not afraid of your doubts. You know, he's not afraid of your questions. And I think that was something I was afraid of, that if I question God, then who am I? But God gave me a brain for a reason. You know, he made us intellectuals for a reason and stuff. And so my experience as someone who's come out from the end of it is I've come out stronger. You know, I feel like church is a tool for my faith. It's not what I rely on. You know, I think that's something that I learned with my deconstruction, is that it's a relationship between me and God. It's not a relationship between me and my pastor, me and my church, me and whatever, my community. It's me and God. And then the rest are tools to help me feel closer to God. if that makes sense. So that's been my personal journey, is refinding God and solidifying my faith. I think that's the purpose of deconstruction, is to reconstruct yourself. But that's my experience. What about you, Sage?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Janet, I don't know many people who started out in the liberal, more progressive, went to the more conservative, and then had the, like, a faith deconstruction. So I think your story is actually really unique, as all of our stories are. Most of the people that I know personally, it's like they're coming out of a fundamentalist background, and it's like they step out of the church and in the song A Whole New World starts playing. You know what I'm saying? It's just really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. It's really just good to hear that, like, as I was saying before, everybody's story is unique and everybody's journey is unique, and so are ours. Just for our listeners, I think many of you know that I also grew up in the church. It was more conservative, a more conservative situation. It was not, I guess, fundamentalist. I don't know, in a sense, it was more, just more conservative. And throughout the years, you know, I've been deeply involved in church. I've been on staff at churches, done internships, just been like neck deep, you know, in the church community. And I've seen a lot of things and I've heard a lot of things over the years that just kind of made me go, you know, but didn't make me walk away. You know, weird stuff about money or yoga or whatever. And I always brush them off because of this one quote that I used to live by, which was it's been attributed to one of the saints, but actually nobody really knows who said it. And it says, the church is a whore, but she's also my mother. And so basically it means that the church isn't perfect, but it's where you belong. And so anytime something little happened, you know, in my process, I was like, oh, well, you know, the church isn't perfect, but I belong there. And I think for me personally, and again, back to my Jenga metaphor, which works for me, I didn't realize that all those little situations were bricks being removed. I didn't see it that way. And then it was here in Germany for me when, like, I did have a tower collapse sort of like situation for me. All those little bricks started to add up until the thing just couldn't stand on its own anymore. And for those of you who are listening and don't know, I moved to Germany as a missionary, started an organization that works with women in the sex industry. And so I was spending multiple days a week in the red light district hanging out with sex workers. And slowly I started to realize that, like, man, there's nothing different between me and a sex worker. She has good days. She has bad days. She has days where she messes up. She has days where she misses her family. She has days where she cries out to God for help. We are literally the same, you know, just born into different situations. Simultaneously, Timon and I were going to a church at the time. As I was having all of these thoughts about, or just sort of experiences with women in the red light. And we're going to church. Timon's on the worship team at that point. And we had a situation. I'm not going to go into it again. I don't want to get sued either. whatever. Yeah. We had a situation where Timon got sat down and we were just dating at the time. And they were like, are you and Sage having sex? And he was like, what? Like, what the fuck? Cause he comes from a more liberal background of where, like, it, like, didn't really matter to him if we were having sex or not, you know? And basically it came down to the fact that, like, if him and I had been having sex, he wouldn't be able to play on the worship team anymore. And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, huh? And so I was like, okay, like, that's weird. That makes me feel uncomfortable. And then I just, like, something about that situation, like, I just couldn't let go of. And I realized, like, you know, would one of my friends in the red light district be able to sing on the worship team?
Right.
No.
Right.
Not as long as she's actively in prostitution.
Right.
Would one of my gay friends, you know, be able to play on the worship team? It seems minuscule, but it's not, you know, for me. Because the cornerstone of my faith, Janet, much like yours, was God is love. Mm-hmm. He is the one who opens his arms wide open to all of us. And then there's just, like, this weird theology about sex and how that plays into the church, even though we know there are a lot of other weird sexual things going on in the church, like, you know, kids being molested by priests and, like, I don't know. It was just all really hard for me to understand. And for me, that led to, like, this, my Jenga tower crumbled because of this situation, because I was basically like, why am I a part of an institution that will accept me if they cannot see the ways they think I mess up? Mm-hmm. But if I were to fully be myself, I would be rejected.
Yeah.
And in that, my friends my gay friends, my sex working friends. How can I stay in this institution like that? And for me, that was a faith reckoning for me, because it was also about how I live my faith and how I see people being accepted or rejected. Mm-hmm. So yeah, part of that process for me, going back to that quote, you know, the church is a whore, but she's also my mother. I realized first, I don't like saying that. I don't like that word whore, but just stick with me on this quote or whatever. For me, it was like, yeah, the church might be a whore, but she's a terrible mother if she doesn't accept them, you know, if she doesn't let them in and give them room to serve God like the rest of us, you know? So I think it was that level of sort of obsession about sexuality, hypocrisy, that really just broke me down. And then I started to do my own research specifically about what the Bible says about sexuality. Yeah. And dude, that just fucked everything up even more. that made my faith reckoning like way worse in a good way. You know what I mean? Because I was just like, oh my God, has anything I've ever taught been true? You know what I mean? Like it just really just my whole brain exploded. And so I think for me, yes, my faith reckoning, in my opinion, needed to completely crumble because it was built somewhat on foundations that I did not want to rebuild on.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were false foundations. That's pretty much what you found out.
But that's what I was taught, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a foundation. And so moving forward, I ditched the Jenga metaphor and listened to a pastor who had gone through his own faith deconstruction. And he said for him, it wasn't about this like construction type of metaphor. For him, he said it was like a garden, and the stuff in his garden died. He tilled the soil and allowed new things to grow.
Yeah.
And that's where I am personally at right now, is allowing new things to grow, you know, from the death, from the decay of that old ideology, that old way of thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling more comfortable with that metaphor. But for me, it has made a huge difference, because Diamond and I had started going to a different church some years after that. And I said to Diamond, I said, I have to ask them where they stand on the LGBTQ community, where they stand on my friends in the sex industry. And I had a conversation, and there was no answer. It was just like, well, if a gay person wanted to be on the worship team, we don't know what we would do. And I said, Timon, I can't do this. You know, it's officially now a no-brainer to me that they belong in community with me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that for me has also meant like, okay, when I rebuild, Janet, like when you said you got stronger, for me, I also feel like I'm getting stronger, but also like I'm not willing to put up with those ideologies. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, you're an organic farmer now. You're not doing pesticides. Like, like, you know, you got it. Like, that's, I think it's the same thing. You realize that the church, that's not what gives your faith strength. Mm-hmm. It's knowing who God is. It's reading the Bible. It's like, it's knowing who God is for yourself. It's standing on your own, what you know, what got it, who got it.
Well, the thing is, though, is like I had given so many excuses over the years because I had been accepted. They accepted me. They allowed me to be there.
Right.
Because they couldn't see my quote unquote mess ups and stuff.
Right.
And for me, it was I had to come to a reckoning and say, why would I be in a place that only accepts certain people? And that for me is where I have drawn a line in the sand and said, no, I want to be a part of a community that openly accepts. And if they don't, it's not. Like, why would I be there? And sorry, I don't want to be offensive, but Jesus wouldn't be there. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely a huge difference for me. I also got really caught up in terminology. I think you and I have talked about that a lot. Yeah. I kept telling Janet, just because I felt like, man, I'm not evangelical. What am I? Who am I? Am I a Christian? And Janet was like, Sage, you are a Christian just because you think differently than some other Christians.
Yeah.
Right? Janet, how many times have you said that to me?
Well, also, I mean, it's a thing. Like, how many also, I mean, even my own upbringing and stuff in the conservative church, like constantly gets diminished as it wasn't a Christian experience, like because they had a liberal theology and stuff.
Right.
Like, there are such a wide, like the idea that Christians can only have this title is mind blowing to me. It's like, you because at the end of the day, like, I know, because you didn't want to wear the title, because I think at one point during your deconstruction phase, and even myself, it's like, I didn't want to be a Christian. I was like, oh my God, like, these people are like, Christians suck, you know, like, they're the ones that are voting for Trump. Like, fuck these guys. Like, I can't be associated with them. Like, you realize that, okay, well, these bitches are using the wrong word. Like, they're using it wrong. I'm using it right. Fuck them. Like, you know, yeah, like, yeah, being a Christian, yeah, at the end of the day is believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, mm-hmm, and that he's the Son of God, and that you believe in him, like, in the Holy Trinity. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. You got that? That's it. God is love. Got it. That's it. Everything else is just tools to bring you closer to God. So if you don't mind, like, it sucks when your church doesn't line up, isn't open and affirming. That's the term that most churches use for LGBTQ friendly churches,
yeah,
open and affirming. So for those who are doing their own research and stuff, and also it's the conservative evangelical side that isn't used to open and affirming, but it's most denominations in the Western side. That's not true. I mean, a lot of the Lutherans, a lot of Methodists, Episcopalians, those are all denominations that have LGBTQ pastors, women on staff, right, women and stuff. Like, so it is just the conservative church, evangelicals, these non-denominational churches that don't have accountability and structure, that are letting loose and deciding that these are the terms, these are the terminology, when, excuse me, there are a million other Christians that are like, oh no, that's not how we do this.
For me,
like, deconstruction, like, I'm, you know, I don't think I would have been able to do this podcast if I didn't have go through this deconstruction, but I can stand firm on what the fuck I know, which is God is love. And you want to come at me and stuff? I've read my verses too, bitches. Like, come on. Like,
I'm Jesus got a Bible. Look out.
Yeah. I think before my deconstruction, like, if you came at me and you were like, well, the verses says this, what are you going to do about that? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know.
Well,
like, but now,
if okay, let me,
I can come at you. Like, I have,
let me say something to that, because bad. Because that, like, the verse interpretation was also a huge issue for
us.
And I'm still wrestling with some of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree. I'm back to the foundation of God is love, but there's some of, like, I'm listening right now to a series from a church. It's a progressive church. I'm telling you, the church has helped save my faith. And the pastor is doing a series called Bible Stories for Grownups on the parables of Jesus.
Yeah.
For example, you know, there's like one about, like, the parable of the talents. Mm-hmm. And I always heard growing up, don't waste your talents before God. Don't bury them in a hole. Work in the children's ministry. That's what that means. Turns out that what Jesus was talking about was, like, uprooting a system of financial oppression on the poor. Okay. It had nothing to do with wasting your gifts or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Like that just, like, exploded my brain. And then when you have situations like that, where it's like, well, I've read that story 100 times, but not understanding the cultural context, I just read it and I kept getting the same interpretation because it had been interpreted to me that certain way. And so then when you have something such a drastically different interpretation, you do look at the Bible and go, wait a second, what else did I read wrong?
You know, like, what else? The fuck did I miss? There are other stories other than David and Goliath, Noah's Ark, like the talent one is a Proverbs one. I'm like, there's, like, you know, the classic 12 dozen stories that you hear all the time. There's a gajillion other hundreds that you're like, wait, what the fuck? This definitely counteracts what the fuck I learned in Noah's Ark. Like, you know, like, this is reinterpret. I think also something kind of important, like, you know, if you've never actually read the Bible for yourself, and, like, I mean, like, if you actually, I'm not counting when you open up your Bible in Sunday service, when they say, turn to page this and read that. I'm not counting that. If you're not reading your Bible outside of the Sunday service, go do it. Get your Bible app. Like, you know, it's not hard to consume 4 minutes of, like, the Bible and stuff. But something I think is important is, like, maybe I know the reading the Bible can be intimidating, especially if you've only heard, like, the thou shalt not whatever. But, like, I had to start with the Message when I was in high school to be
I still love the Message.
Now I'm at NIV and whatever and stuff. But you also, there's so many different ways to connect with God. So if you've been, like, afraid or like, oh, I know, I'm like, you know, I would just say, like, don't be afraid of finding ways that, like, you could consume it.
And I'll be honest, there was a long period of time for me where I was angry yeah. and afraid of opening up my Bible
yeah.
because of these misinterpretations. And it was just like, what am I even going to read out of this?
Yeah. Am I going to find out that I'm supposed to hate gay people? That was one of the things. I was like, suddenly, am I going to be these people? Like, yeah.
You know, or just like, and so I think for me, and I want to say to our listeners, like, you know, you probably, most of you, except for my husband who listens to our podcast, mm-hmm. most of you did not study theology. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, there is a, like, we do rely on pastors and theologians and teachers to help us. And when that trust has been broken due to misinterpretation, it's going to take some time to gain that trust back. And I'm still at a place where I'm like, I need help interpreting what I'm reading.
Right.
And for me, I have found a safe place now, you know, a pastor where I could ask questions to. And I feel like he actually does the work. He knows what he's talking about and he's okay with saying, I don't know.
Yeah. Just for the filler there, I'm like, it's a red flag if your pastor is afraid of your questions, like if he doesn't want to answer, by the way.
I mean,
cause no, I think that's important to note and stuff. Like, cause you're right. That's, I 100% believe that if you can't have a connection with your pastor at your church, it's not church. Get out. Like, you know, like I go to a bigger church now, quote unquote, mm-hmm. like satellite and stuff. And I know for a fact that like I could reach out to either the senior pastors, female and man, you know, like that I would get a response from them, you right. know? And I think I never really had that before, especially at a mega church mm-hmm. too, that my last one. And I think that is very important for people or to know that
anybody
you should be able
on
to talk
staff,
to your pastor.
And you it's know, okay some, to somebody.
Yeah. And this is the time it's okay to church hop too. You know, this is the time where it's like, you know, you start finding other pastors that work for you, you know, like it's okay. I know it's so scary because there's those verses where you're not supposed to abandon your church or whatever, but like God also doesn't want you to be like dehydrated from not being filled mm-hmm. up for so long. You know, there are ways to check yourself, but that's a whole
well, nother yeah, that's a whole nother episode. I do want to say though, just as Jan and I have shared our stories, something that I came across during my time deconstructing, and I'm not finished. Okay. To our listeners, I'm not done. I am now at the point where I am ready to rebuild, as Janet said, and I have started rebuilding and it feels good. Feels right. I feel like it was the right time for me.
Yeah.
But what I recognized through this and through being a part of different deconstruction circles on different corners of the internet is that for many people, this is grief. This yeah. is grief. And a lot of people that I see are stuck in the angry part of the grief cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's okay to be angry. Nothing wrong with being angry. But if we don't recognize that we're in a grief cycle, we can also yeah. get stuck in certain parts of the cycle. Yeah. And so I just want to say that maybe take, you know, it's okay to take a time of reflection and say like, man, where am I? Have I grieved? Have I come to a place of bargaining. I've been through it all. Bargaining, depression, anger. Like, I've been through everything. Okay. Yeah. I finally landed at acceptance. and acceptance doesn't mean that I go right back to what my Jenga tower was. Acceptance doesn't mean I turn right back around and go to that church if that church caused harm or trauma. Just means that, hey, like I'm willing to take a step forward now. Yeah.
Yeah. You're replacing these Jenga blocks with bricks of your own. Ones that are going to be more solid than this.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm definitely moved to the garden metaphor. Yeah. I want to grow flowers, no more bricks. Okay. No more bricks. I want flowers in my garden. That could, you know, could, maybe they're going to be removed someday too. I don't know. Yeah. So
it's definitely okay. Like feel your feels, but mm-hmm. to that point though, that's not where you're supposed to end. You know, like you can, that's my point. At least I feel that way. It's like, if you're in that anger and grief phase, like I've been there, Sage and I have been there. I've been there. And mm-hmm. I'm just saying that like, you may stay there for a while, but you can get to the other side. It is a push through personally. Yeah. That's how I feel like.
Well, and I'm saying it to our listeners because I legitimately did not realize that that's what was happening to me. Mm. I did not realize that I was grieving, that I was bargaining, that I was going through depression, that I was angry. The anger was more obvious, but I didn't like, it was, you know, in denial for years yeah. and years and years of denial. I didn't realize that I was grieving because for me, the church has always been a second family to me. They accepted me in a time of my life that was very low and very difficult. And so it felt like standing up and saying, no, I don't agree with that anymore, felt like abandoning family to me.
Yeah.
And I needed to grieve that. I needed to grieve that. And so I'm just, yeah, for our listeners, wherever you are in this journey, or if you haven't been on this journey, we support you.
Yeah.
And I hope that you hear from Janet, especially saying like there is hope at the end.
Yeah.
There is a possibility to regrow something or to rebuild something. I hope you hear from me saying, and wherever you're at in that cycle, it's okay. We've been there. We are there. You know?
We get it. Like, we get it. Like, we're all in this together. We get it. And with that, I think that's a great wrap up. So if you, after you get done listening to this and you're just like mind blown, like, oh my God, what the fuck is faith deconstruction? Like, you know, head over to either, you can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Florida Grown Femme Podcast. We always have a post up. We love hearing from you guys. If you want to talk more about it, head over there. We are always there answering our DMs and stuff. And as always, we really appreciate it when you leave a review. You know, if this sparks something out of you and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do some deep dive. Let us know. We love that. And so I think that brings us to our next week's topic. So next week, we're going to jump into kind of a lighter topic or a lighter question. And so next week's question is he really not that into me? So for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, we're actually going to be jumping into the movie, He's Just Not That Into You. It's actually based on a book, for those who don't know or remember that 2000s reference, like came out in like 2004, He's Just Not That Into You. And so that movie had a major impact on Sage and I's life. And so next week, we're going to talk about how it made a big impact and why, and it's sure to be a lot of fun. So until next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.